Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came from Galilee to John, baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. You are our Lord and Savior. Grant us, Lord, to follow your example. Help us to learn from you and from your baptism. And as we just sang, baptize us with your Spirit, Lord. Your cross on us be signed, that likewise in God's service we may perfect freedom find. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I begin with a confession, a traveler's confession. I am not the man I wish I was. I'm feeling very keenly this morning the sentiments of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 when he says, "The things I want to do, I do not do, and the things I don't want to do, I do." And so I confess to you this morning that yesterday on my flight home from my Doctor of Ministry class that I was taking in Birmingham, Alabama, against the express instructions of the flight crew, I put both my carry-on suitcase and my computer bag in the overhead compartment. And as I stretched my legs, enjoying all the space under the front seat in front of me, the Lord gave me a perfect view from my window seat of the conveyor belt that was carrying all the carry-on suitcases off of the plane that couldn't be accommodated in those compartments. I sat there watching all those suitcases that didn't fit, and I realized I should have thought more carefully about my actions. We have a familiar story this morning in the gospel reading, and I want to consider two questions with you this morning. First, why was Jesus baptized? And second, what difference does that make to our lives as his followers? I want to suggest to you this morning that Jesus' baptism has great relevance for our daily lives, even in such relatively mundane decisions as where to stow your carry-on luggage. The gospel reading this morning does not go into detail about John's teaching as he was calling people to be baptized, but you will remember John called people to baptism for the repentance of their sin. People came to John and he held nothing back. He challenged them to live righteously, to change their ways. If you have two coats, he said, give to someone who doesn't have one. If you're a soldier, don't extort people unfairly. If you're a religious leader, live from the heart, practice what you preach. If you're a Jew, don't rely on your religious heritage to make you right with God. Now, baptism in our day brings to mind images of cute babies dressed in white, as water gets poured on their heads in a church service. But for people of the first century, baptism was something far different that meant so much more. It was a familiar practice. Baptism was practiced regularly by Jews and some pagan worshipers as well. The practice was that the person being baptized went down under the water, symbolizing death, and then was raised up out of the water, symbolizing new life, just as water is present at birth. The ritual of baptism, then, was an initiation rite for people joining themselves to a new religion. Converts to Judaism were baptized. Certain pagan worship included baptismal practices. The idea was that people were making a fresh start into a new way of living. They were dying to the old way of living, which was disconnected from this God of the new religion that they were coming to. And they came up out of the water to live a new life in worship of this new God. There was, in Jewish baptism, also the concept of cleansing, water being used to wash away impurities. What was radical about John was not that he practiced baptism. That ritual everyone knew. What was radical was that John was calling people who were Jews not to a new religion, but to be baptized. He was calling them to a new way of living within their religion. It wasn't that they were joining something new. Rather, they were being challenged to live a new way, to live life consistent with what they said they believed. Thus, they were being called to make a fresh start of life, living genuinely, consistently from the heart. And so Jesus comes to be baptized, and John rightly protests. Jesus doesn't need to be cleansed from impurities. As the Son of God, he's not leaving a life that was apart from God to be initiated into a new life with God. Jesus doesn't need to be baptized. But Jesus chooses to be baptized. And in doing so, he connects his life and his ministry with that of John's. In doing so, Jesus affirms John's baptism, and he sets an example for us to follow. Jesus is affirming the need that we all have to make a fresh start of life, to leave the old way of living, sinfully focused on self, the need we all have to die to self, to die to trusting in other things for security and stability in life, like your family's religious heritage, like the Jews, like striving to be a good person, following the rules, but with a heart far from God, set on things in the world, like the Pharisees, or like cutting corners, ignoring the needs of others, just to get yourself and your family ahead at the expense of others, like a typical Roman soldier. Jesus is affirming that all of us, whatever we're relying on in this world to bring us meaning, fulfillment, stability, and security, anything apart from God, we need to stop living that way. No, Jesus didn't need to be baptized because of a need to repent of sins, but he wanted to set an example that shows us that all human beings need to make a fresh start, die to self, and begin living life with God at the center. Can see in Jesus, however, that his baptism did mark a turning point in his life. Matthew tells us that Jesus came to be baptized from Galilee. That was his home in Nazareth. He literally left Galilee to be baptized, but symbolically, he's leaving Galilee. He's leaving his old life to begin something new. The Gospels give us absolutely no information about Jesus' life in Nazareth. Nothing. What was Jesus doing when he was a child? What was he doing when he was a teenager? What was he doing in his 20s? There's nothing to report. Presumably, that's because Jesus lived the life a carpenter's son would live. He lived a normal human life. He lived and experienced the struggles, the joys, the sorrows that we know. He knew what it was to grow tired, to work hard, to learn a trade, to be in a family, to go to worship, to play with other children, to go to school in the synagogue, perhaps even to get bored. He lived a normal life, such as we do. But then he comes to be baptized. After Jesus came up out of the water at his baptism, and the Spirit comes upon him, his life will never be the same. From that moment on, Jesus' normal life as a carpenter's son is complete. And now that he has come up out of the waters, Jesus lives a life of an itinerant ministry where he's essentially homeless, ministering to and identifying to the poor, healing the sick, preaching and teaching the good news that the kingdom of God has come near and everyone can come to have a relationship with God. Baptism marked a significant turning point in the life of Jesus. Why was Jesus baptized? It was to affirm the rightness of John's ministry of baptism and to set for us an example. So what relevance does this have for us today? I think there's a great danger that we can go through life on autopilot. We get baptized, the decision was made for us by our parents, or if we were old enough, we decided for ourselves, and then that decision gets confirmed at confirmation. But the mere ceremony of baptism, the ceremony of laying on of hands of a bishop at confirmation, these are meaningless, dead rituals unless they mark an intent to lead a new life, a turning point in the life of the baptized confirmand. Jesus affirmed John's baptism for religious people who practice their faith and worship God together regularly. Jesus affirmed baptism for people who were like us, worshipers, churchgoers, outwardly religious. But John's baptism that Jesus participates in says to such religious people that your religion is meaningless unless it's lived from the heart. The Pharisees were some of the most religious people you are ever likely to meet. They had hundreds of rules that they meticulously followed, but their hearts were set on something other than God. They found their security in rules and the comfortable life they had. They did not seek to really know God. John challenges them, Jesus challenges them, to have a change of mind, to have a change of outlook. That's what the word repent means. And so the challenge for us becomes clear, doesn't it? Just because we've been baptized doesn't mean that we're right with God. Just as we wouldn't point to our birth certificate to show that we're alive, rather, to prove we're alive, we would do the kinds of things that living people do. Likewise, we don't point to our baptismal certificate to prove that we're a Christian. Not even coming to worship makes us a Christian. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. And Christ was baptized by John, and Christ came up out of those waters and embarked on a new way of living that was all out for God his Father. Jesus didn't get baptized and say, "Thanks, John," and then head back to the same old life in Lazarus. His life was dramatically changed. So too our lives need to be dramatically changed as we follow Jesus. I don't mean that you have to quit your job and become a homeless itinerant preacher. That was what the new life of the Spirit looked like for the Son of God. The new life of the Spirit will look different for each of us. But the same Spirit who came upon Jesus then comes upon his followers still. That Spirit calls you to new life. That Spirit will change you and transform you if you are willing to live a God-centered life. Our liturgy of the baptismal service actually helps us see what this looks like. And I'd like to ask you to take out the prayer book in the pew rack in front of you, and let's look for a moment at the baptismal service, page 302. There are six questions that the parents, or if they're old enough, the person being baptized, are asked. Notice how they describe a radical commitment to a different kind of life from that of the world. There are three things that are renounced: Satan and the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God. Now, that doesn't simply mean we're saying we're not going to be Satan worshipers. It means that we're pledging to renounce anything that goes against God. Second, we renounce the evil powers of this world that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. Whatever corrupts people, whatever brings about destruction of body and soul, these things we renounce. And third, we renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God. Notice that, not some of the desires, not the desires we care less about, but all desires, all that is self-centered, drawing us away from God, we renounce. And so we vow to die to self and the old way of living. Then we pledge ourselves to a new way of living. With three things we embrace. We turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as Savior. That is, we turn away from the old self-centered life and acknowledge we need to be rescued. We need Jesus to save us. Then second, we put our whole trust in his grace and love. Again, it's not just some trust, not just trust on Sunday mornings, but all. Our whole trust for our entire lives is placed in him and his love. And then we pledge to follow and obey him as our Lord. Lord, an absolute ruler to whom we give total loyalty and allegiance. Flip over to page 304. We profess belief in the Trinity, and then we pledge to live that belief out in five specific ways. Note the first one, continuing in the apostles' teaching. That's the Bible, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. It's a commitment to living a lifestyle that's focused on the Word of God, understood in the fellowship and community of other Christians who participate regularly in Eucharistic worship. That comes right out of Acts chapter 2. These were the very things that the first Christians on Pentecost, newly filled with the Holy Spirit, did. Second, we persevere in resisting evil, and whenever we fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Here we acknowledge that we're human, that we need to keep on praying for forgiveness, choosing not just once at our baptism or confirmation to follow God and then go on autopilot, but each and every day of our lives seeking to live into our baptism. And when we do something we shouldn't, like putting two things in the overhead compartment, not thinking of others, we confess that and we repent. Third, we pledge to tell others about Jesus by our words and by our example. In other words, we don't hide what's at the center of our lives. We've been captured by the love of God, and it has been life-giving for us. And so we're transparent, willing to let others know that, and we're happy to point them to find out how the love of God can be good news for them as well. Fourth, we promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. This pledge remembers Jesus' words when he talks about doing things to other people. Do you remember what he said? When you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. Or when you haven't done it to one of the least of these, you haven't done it to me. Through the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus is in our neighbor, even though that neighbor might be very different from us, even though that neighbor might be someone we're tempted to despise. Fifth, the baptismal lifestyle of a spirit-filled believer will respect the dignity of every human being and strive for justice and peace. Every person is a creature created in the image of God. Each and every human life is worthy of respect. And where people have been dealt a rough circumstance in life simply because of when and where they were born, when our society does not help them, we need to respond with compassion and love, and stand for justice. These vows we make at our baptism are meant to give us a tangible view of what a life with the Holy Spirit looks like, what a life that has been initiated into a new way of living looks like. Just as it was for Jesus, our baptism is meant to be a turning point in our lives. And as John's baptism made clear, this is a call to die to self and live each and every day for God and loving our neighbors. To do this, we must pay attention. We have to be intentional. It's not something we can do occasionally or part-time or just on Sundays, but each and every day. And to do this, we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own, in our own abilities. But when we lean into the Holy Spirit and look to the Spirit of God to give us the ability, we come to learn that He is able. It doesn't happen instantly, but over time, gradually, the Spirit guides us to live more and more with God at the center. What does this look like? Can someone actually live this way? I'm going to mention it only briefly now, but I encourage you to come back next week and you'll hear some more. I studied this past week the life of a man who lived such a God-centered life that these baptismal vows suggest. And you don't often hear about that aspect of his life, how faith was the driving force. I'm speaking of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who had faith that carried him through moments of doubt and discouragement when he was ready to give up, when people were calling and threatening his life, when bombs were blowing up on his front porch. He had an encounter one night at midnight with the living God in his kitchen, and it was a turning point for him that moved him forward. King's Christ-centered life led him to bravely stand for justice with a non-violent protest, living into the baptism that Jesus set the example for us today in the reading leads not only to personal fulfillment, love, joy, and peace, but it has changed the world. I urge you this morning, rededicate yourself to living the kind of God-centered life that the baptism of Jesus presents to us. See if you don't also, as you do, come to hear the Heavenly Father's voice saying, I love you. See if you don't also come to sense the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit coming upon you as you follow the example of our Lord Jesus, and see what amazing things God wants to do through you. To Him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.